Welcome back to the Rested Culture Show. I'm your host, Frank Ebersold, and I'm glad to be with you again for this episode. And we're going to talk a little bit about the president's tax reform plan that's coming up here. But man, has it gotten cold here all of a sudden? One of my listeners wrote and wanted to know where I'm broadcasting from. And I'm broadcasting from Iowa. It's 38-ish and raining. It's like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here, for God's sakes? I'm from West Palm Beach. I was born in West Palm. It's beautiful. It's sunny. What am I doing here in Iowa? Well, I like it, actually. The people are very nice, located right next to the beautiful Mississippi River. Quick trip to Chicago. But nonetheless, it's turned the corner. But I'm going to be down in West Palm Beach and back to see family and all that kind of stuff coming up this December. And I always love going to Worth Avenue and driving by the Trump estate, which, you know, I still call it the Marjorie Merriweather Post estate. To me, it's always going to be Marjorie Merriweather Post's home. And I don't call it the Trump estate. But anyway, that's coming up. So this week, we've got the president's tax reform plan that's coming out. And, you know, folks, my main grievance with this tax reform plan is, why are we giving the rich and corporations a tax break anyway? Why are we doing it? I mean, let's sit back and think about it here. The stock market keeps breaking all-time highs, which Donald Trump, as you well know, takes credit for almost weekly, doesn't he? It's getting a little tiring. You know, it's clear to me that earnings are way up and profits are at all-time highs. So really, why are we favoring corporations with a tax break where Donald Trump wants to take it from 35%, the tax, corporate tax, all the way down to 20%? I mean, I could see a little bit of a break, maybe 30%, but really, why? I mean, all-time highs, woohoo! Really, why the tax break for corporations? And, you know, while we're on it, why do we need to give the rich a tax break? You know, the rich are beneficiaries largely of a higher stock market, and we know that the divide between the rich and poor just keeps getting bigger. And, you know, this, folks, it's the Republican, I'm going to call it the Republican tax break disease. And Republicans have been suffering from this trickle-down tax break disease for a hell of a long time. I mean, as far back as I can remember. And even before Ronald Reagan, which is where the term trickle-down economics, you know, came about. You know, it's always the same old, isn't it? We'll cut the taxes for the rich because they do pay most of the taxes. You know, I'll agree with that. You know, they pay most of the taxes, but the theory, so-called theory here of trickle-down economics, is that the benefits, once you cut the taxes for the rich, the benefits will then trickle down to the middle class. And we know it doesn't ever happen. Never. It's a crock of bull that we've been fed, at least since Ron Reagan. You know, even George Bush himself. I remember George Bush himself pushing the old trickle-down benefit. George W. Bush. You know, it's a bunch of BS, folks, because as you've all been taught in school, I think most of us have been taught this, we know that the U.S. is a consumer-driven economy. To the point that 70% of the GDP, which is the gross domestic product, the value of all the goods we produce in the U.S. in a given year, that's purchased by consumers, 70% of that GDP is from folks like we the people, you and me. So why are we cutting taxes for the rich when we're the ones that are doing all the consuming here? Why? The wealthy pay more in taxes, folks, because let's face it, they would not be where they are today without middle-class America. We make their success possible, yet Trump says they're the ones under his plan. He doesn't have to say it. You can read it. You can see it. They're the ones, the rich are the ones who will benefit the most from tax reform. Now, does this make any sense? Any sense at all? The middle class fights in their wars that fuels their industry with profits. We do the fighting, they do the profiting. Middle class America buys their products year in and year out. And if you're like me, folks, you go out of your way to buy American, to help Americans, which the rich owners benefit from greatly. They love it too. But I buy American to help Americans. So why are we giving them all the loopholes on top of a tax cut as well? They not only get the tax cut, they also get the loopholes that come with it. And I'm talking about things like loopholes like the carried interest loophole, which benefits hedge fund managers to the tune of billions of dollars. You know, back in his campaign, Trump must have been dreaming when he said that this loophole, the carried interest loophole, was going away. Because everything I can see indicates that it's here to stay. What happened to that campaign promise? More loopholes for the rich. Here they come. You know, the rich, Donald Trump and the cabinet of the 1%, the rich are also trying to get rid of the estate tax. And you can imagine why. It's another huge benefit for the rich. The estate tax. And all these loopholes, folks, all of this piled on top of an actual tax cut for the top wealthiest Americans pay. All of that. In addition, they get that great old tax cut along with it that's coming along that they're working on right now. And the response from Trump's cabinet of the 1%, all they can say is that 20% of the Americans pay 95% of the taxes. That's it. I mean, is that the best you can do? That's all you can tell me is that 20% of Americans pay 95% of the taxes. Well, they should, by God. They should. Why? I mean, I'm serious, folks. They should be paying the lion's share of the taxes. Why are we shifting trillions of dollars away from the government, folks, here, adding to our deficit problem by tax reform, the so-called tax reform that Donald Trump is proposing? Why are we shifting trillions from the government treasury into our deficits? Yeah, right into their bank accounts it goes, and then it adds to our deficit. Why are we doing this? You know, at some point, folks, the interest on the debt that we pay as Americans, there's a hell of a lot out there, by the way, the interest on the debt that we pay will be so great one of these days that we won't be able as a nation, as a government, to keep up with it. You know, if the interest rates simply rise from today's historically low levels, you know, if they go up from where they are today, and you know they will, I guarantee it. You know, when those rates start going higher, the government's ability to pay back the debt on our deficit is going to be what sinks our ship. So why add to this deficit by shifting trillions from the treasury to the bank accounts of the rich? You know, the middle class is what fuels America, like I mentioned before. 70% of the GDP of this great nation is consumer-driven. That's the middle class doing the heavy lifting here, folks. We should be keeping taxes where they are, dropping them, if anything, for the middle class, and close those loopholes. We should be closing the loopholes, not perpetuating them. I mean, we should be closing those loopholes for the rich. That's really what should be going on here. And in fact, yeah, the middle class should be getting a tax break, even if it means that the rich won't get a tax break. My God, they're doing okay. Trust me. And since we the people are driving 70% of this economy, how about a little more help here with our healthcare cost? Instead of sabotaging our healthcare, how about we get a little help with our healthcare, Mr. Trump? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that since we drive 70% of this economy, the less we pay for healthcare, the more we'll have to spend. The more we're going to have to spend. Hallelujah. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, does it? And if you haven't noticed, we the people need all the help we can get keeping this economy going. We're doing 70% of the buy-in here. We need all the help we can get. In fact, if you look at it, folks, non-housing debt, and we're talking things like credit cards, auto loans, all the debt that's non-housing based, you know, excluding your mortgage, the non-housing debt recently rose to the highest all-time level ever, even surpassing the highs that were made in the 2008 recession. And I've got to tell you, that's a fact that's coming right from the New York Federal Reserve Center for Microeconomic Data. And you can go to my website, www.rustedculture.com, and you can check out that link yourself, look at the data, and see the chart. But it's the real deal. It's, you know, we're bearing the brunt of this recovery, making the rich rich. I mean, it's on our backs, folks, and we've got the debt to prove it. So we're the ones that need the help, not the rich. So, Mr. Trump, when I say we the people need help keeping this economy going, I mean, I'm not kidding. We're going broke keeping your freaking economy moving that you're taking credit for and your stock market booming, all of which you're just going out of your way to say you're the one that's doing it. You got nothing to do with it. You've only been in the office there for a handful of months, already making a mess of stuff. But you're still claiming you're the one that's doing all the heavy lifting here. It's not. It's the middle class, and they need help. So quit trying to lower taxes for the rich and stop sabotaging our health care. Dang it. Stop sabotaging our health care like you do. So coming up next here, folks, in the next segment, we've got the fact that Obamacare, you know, which has been under, we're talking sabotage here. It's been pummeled. It's been hit. It's been beaten up big time here by Donald Trump. But Obamacare picks up. It's still in that condition. Obamacare still is picking up where Trump sabotage leaves off. Hang in there. So healthcare sabotage by Trump, that's what we're talking about now. You've seen it on the TV. You know what's going on. It's not just an empty statement. The reality is that Donald Trump has sabotaged the Affordable Care Act by eliminating CSR payments, cost sharing reduction payments to insurers. That's what he did last week. Now, these, I'll call them CSRs, they were designed to help consumers with deductibles and other out-of-pocket costs. Gone. No longer. Trump took care of that. And not only that, but Trump has also slashed spending on the Affordable Care Act advertising by 90%. I mean, anything he can do to kind of gum this up, he's doing. He's also slashed funding that helps groups that help consumers understand the Obamacare choices, the Affordable Care Act choices, and these groups that help the public choose health plans, they've been slashed in funding. It's just not there. So if that's not enough, I mean, if that's not enough sabotage, Trump has also cut the enrollment time for Obamacare from 12 weeks to just 6. You've only got 6 weeks now instead of 12. And again, here we go. If that's not enough, he also plans on shutting down the enrollment website, the Affordable Care Act website. I think it's healthcare.gov for 1 day a week on Sunday for maintenance. Of course. Right. You get what I mean. I mean, it's just another way of sabotaging the Affordable Care Act. Anything they can do, they're doing it. To throw a wrench in it, folks. I mean, I don't know how he can be billed as the savior of the middle class, because he's doing everything that he can to make your health care skyrocket and go away. But folks, I've got to tell you, I'm standing here and I've got to say that Obama had some pretty smart folks working on the Affordable Care Act when it was written. They didn't have a bunch of dummies sitting there putting this down, figuring it out. They just didn't slam something down. You know, it got no Republican support, but I got to tell you, they had some pretty smart folks working on this Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Despite all of this sabotage that I just told you about that Trump is doing to kill the Affordable Care Act, despite all of that that we just mentioned, in 2,300 counties throughout the United States right now, and that's a lot of counties out there, folks, you know, when you look at it, 2,300 counties in the United States right now, a single person that's making $24,000 a year can get real insurance from the Affordable Care Act that covers a lot, a hell of a lot more than the watered-down insurance that the Republicans were trying to turn Obamacare into. It still is covering the full boat, more coverage than you'll get anyplace else. And it's costing, in 2,300 counties, it's costing $0 per year. That's right, it's a zero premium. Despite all of that sabotage, despite it, you can still get, if you're making $24,000 as a single person in 2,300 counties, zero premium. And of course, that also doesn't mean that you could get that if you're just single. It just, that's the starting metric. It's still available if you have kids, if you have family. Go online and check it out. It's still there. And the reason that Obamacare is still there, and the reason is that despite that sabotage that we were just talking about, all of the insurers that supply the plans for Obamacare, they've all had to raise premiums. And in doing so, folks, by raising the premiums, they've triggered the stronger subsidies that are built in to Obamacare, that they built into it, because they didn't want you, as middle-class America, to pay and get screwed by high premiums. So this was built into Obamacare. And these are the regular premium subsidies that were never messed with, or they were never repealed by Congress along with Obamacare. And Trump didn't mess with these premium subsidies. They were never sabotaged by Trump. So these subsidies are going up along with the price of the insurance, so that you may end up with greatly reduced, or as I mentioned, just about near zero healthcare costs. So Obamacare is still functioning. It's been kicked, it's been beaten, but it's there, and the coverage is excellent, and you ought to check it out. But you've only got 6 weeks this time to do it. It all goes back to this. Americans need solid healthcare. We're the ones powering this economy for the rich. We deserve good health care at a price that doesn't break the bank. Now, whether it's Obamacare or Medicare for all, we can't let our lawmakers drop the ball on this health care and extending, providing health care to all Americans as a baseline. If you still get your health care through an employer, that's great. But I think that there should be a baseline out there, Medicare for all, something that everybody will get, no matter what. And again, if your plan's better through your employer, fantastic, take that instead. But at least a baseline safety net healthcare approach is still what's needed. So get out and vote is where I'm going with this. Get out and vote and tell your lawmakers that represent you today not to cut taxes for the rich and add to our deficits that end up hurting America in the long run. So I want you to stay right there. We've got the Shame Game is coming right up next. So it's time for the Shame Game, where we have contestants that are worthy worthy of shame. Now today, I want to know, Rod, who do we have on the shame game coming up today? Well, today we've got Scott Pruitt. Scott Pruitt, come on down. Well, that's right. Today we've got the EPA Administrator, Scott Pruitt. Oh, gosh, look at him wave his hands like a little girl. Come on down. Jesus. Scott Pruitt wins the Shame Game Award because he's so stupid in the face of climate change and doubts the consensus of top climate scientists. He's doubting the consensus of top climate scientists that man-made carbon emissions are the primary cause of global warming. So this week, just this week, Scott says that he's firing most all of the outside experts that advise him on science and public health issues and he's going to replace them all with new board members that hold, as he says, more diverse views, i.e. ones that don't believe in climate change. He wants people that don't believe in climate change. Evidently, the ones that are out there today on the board do, and Scott doesn't, and it's not working out so great for Scott. So Scott is naming new leadership and members to three key EPA advisory boards: the Science Advisory Board, the Clean Air Scientific Advisory Committee, and the Board of Scientific Counselors. So as a part of the new Scott Pruitt rules at the EPA, he plans on banning appointees who are currently in receipt of EPA grants or they're in a position to benefit from EPA grants. However, if you're currently accepting research funding from a corporation out there, that's okay. That's A-OK. If a corporation is funding research to a scientist, he can still be on the board. That's A-OK. Doesn't that sound interesting? So according to an article from the Associated Press, who interviewed current board chairwoman, Deborah Swackhammer is her name, Deborah said that this new rule stacks the deck against scientists who do not represent corporate special interests. Now, Deborah is a retired professor who taught environmental health sciences at the University of Minnesota. She also went on to add that it speaks volumes that people funded by special interest are okay to be advisors, but not those who have received federal grants. Now, the article by the Associated Press mentions Senator Tom Udall of New Mexico, who's a ranking Democrat on the Appropriations Committee that approves EPA funding, by the way. And Senator Udall says that Pruitt is purging expert scientists from his science boards, and he's replacing them with mouthpieces of big corporate polluters. Now, when you look at the article by the Associated Press, the comments on the article are pretty darn funny. One reader said that we should have a national Kick Scott Pruitt in the Crotch Day. Yeah, I'll be first in line. Another one mentions that this is the definition of crony capitalism. Another comment goes to the heart of it. It cuts right to the heart of Scott Pruitt's lack of qualifications to even run the EPA. And this commenter said that, remember when George Bush put a useless former New Jersey politician with no scientific background in charge of the EPA? Then after 9/11, she was on the air saying that there was no real danger to first responders. That lady that was appointed by George Bush was more qualified than Scott Pruitt. You know, folks, it's not only Trump, it's all of these wackos like Scott Pruitt that he put in charge of all the governmental agencies that are bringing us down. It's not just the action of Donald Trump, as you know. It's all of these other folks. Betsy DeVos, Scott Pruitt. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's the collective effect of this is going to be, we're going to be reeling as a nation for decades from this, I'm sorry to say. So you need to keep America in your prayers. Folks, you need to keep America in your prayers, and you need to vote. And that's first and foremost here. When it's time to vote, it doesn't matter to me whether you vote Republican. Well, it kind of does, but vote your conscience and vote where you think you should. But in any case, just get out and vote. So folks, I want to thank you again for listening to my little bit of a rant here today. And as always, you can go online and check us out at www.rustedculture.com. And until then, I want to say thank you and stay tuned. We've got more coming up too.